Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every seed her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. I think that's what it's going to be like. Maybe a little peppier. You got to imagine if it's all creation, there'll be some clucks and some moos and some hisses. Maybe some people who can't sing as well as we can. Maybe people who only learned those songs in those annoying supermarkets. The ones that kind of make us not like those songs very much anymore during that time. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was singing Joy to the World when I was a little kid, it didn't matter if I knew the right words. They usually didn't. It didn't matter if I had the right notes or where I was singing it from, because there was just kind of this unquenchable joy that would just kind of leap from me. And kind of, I grew up in South Dakota, so there would be snow and trees getting ready. It was this whole kind of family festivity that you couldn't really recreate in San Francisco without maybe a movie set. But it was surrounded by actually being truly happy, the kind of singing that only happens when it really comes from that joyful place that you can't quench. And I don't think there's many times left when we sing from that space. Although, let's see, who will admit it? Who sings in the shower? What do you sing in the shower? Is anybody willing to talk? What do you sing in the shower? What are the songs that you sing when you think no one's listening, or at least you don't care?
I sing like the oboe part from Beethoven's Ninth
Symphony. Yes. Yes, and we'll all pretend we know exactly which one that is. It's so beautiful. I sing that one too. Does anyone else admit it?
War of the Bear.
Nice. That's a good one.
The Stones.
The Stones. Yeah. Yeah. I was secretly hoping that Jeff's yours would be like, I feel pretty, and pretty, like something from a musical. I can envision it. But probably for most of us, it could be something like that, but it's probably more likely a television commercial these days, like the Oscar Mayer Wiener song that gets stuck in your head over and over again, or like the Mickey Mouse Club song. Like, think about it. In your history, do you have more joy when you sing the Mickey Mouse Club song or when you think of sitting in church when you were little? Wow. You did? Well, that's great. For me, singing, you know, it's easy for me to say, I'm sure some of you, easy for you to say you're good at singing. I haven't always been good at singing, though, and it wasn't always something that I found joy in doing. I remember I sang in the choir in high school, but I was so petrified of singing around other people that I would just mouth the words at the concerts because everyone was so much closer when they were sitting on the raised pews. I don't know if any of you had an experience like that of a time where you just kind of mouth the words or mumble because you don't want the person next to you to hear. It's singing from a shame space that's a little bit different than singing from the joy space that's in these texts. But I wish we all had that joy that little kids had, not caring. The not caring where it's coming from space. And I think, too, one of my favorite things about the songs that we sing together in this way is that if there were songs you've sung every single Sunday or every single Christmas, they touch that heart space in a different way than the songs that you would just sing in the car when no one's in the car. The ones that kind of make the trip go a little bit faster, but those songs that touch you in those family spaces are that kind of vibrating that it is what I think people are trying to capture, the people who meditate with the word om. Because when you say the sound om, you feel the vibration right here, right above your heart, right in the space where, you know, if you climb to the top of a mountain, you get that feeling right here too. Or when you see kids do something magical, like pronounce a word correctly for the first time, you get that feeling, or that sense of working really hard to try to learn something new that you couldn't do a million times, but just once you did it. Even when you try to show someone else and you still can't do it again, but you have that feeling of, I did it, that kind of resonates in your heart. It's part of what I love, the passage from Swedenborg, and at the end, he kind of captures this joy and this resonance, and he says, to sing a song signifies confession from joy of heart, because joy of heart, when in its fullness, expresses itself in song. This it does because when the heart, and in consequence, the thought also, is full of joy, it pours itself forth in singing. The joy of the heart itself through the sound of the singing, and the joy of the thought therefore through the song. And this joy reverberates so big that you can't imagine it being anything other than infectious for the entire world. You know, like when, if you've ever ridden public transportation and there's a really great song on your headphones and you just look around wondering why no one else is dancing. There are a lot of people who ride the buses who think their song is worth sharing for everyone. I don't always agree with them. But I love the place that comes from, that desire to share joy. It's kind of a reminder for myself to remember in those moments when someone's playing obnoxious music that's driving me crazy, that they're just trying to share their joy with me. But I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on trying to think that way. One of the moments that reminded me of this joy space is we had one of our homeless guests came into Old First Presbyterian, where I am, and he couldn't read, so he needed help filling out his paperwork, and we taught him how to sign forms with an X and explained what they meant. And he came to church one Sunday, and the small children were singing in a room. Right when you enter the door at Old First, there's a piano, and that's where the little kids practice their music. They practice all of the hymns that are going to be sung that day in church so that they can participate. And it's kind of meant to be a way of learning the music that assumes that you can't read, because most of the kids were too little to read. And so they just kind of pick up on some of the peppy words, and they would learn the chorus so that they could participate when they went upstairs. And I watched this homeless guy kind of just observe from afar how these children were learning to sing. And I knew that one of the scariest things about any type of stranger, it doesn't matter what they look like or smell like or how many teeth they have, is just strangers around kids. So I was kind of paying attention to what was happening and making sure it was safe. And he just kind of sat across the room from them and started to learn the song and to begin to sing. And he singed so horrible. It was like probably what the owl sounds like in the all of creation singing. You want to be on the other side of the forest to not have to hear it. It was horrible, but it was the most beautiful singing I think I had ever seen. And after week of kind of discovering that this guy meant no harm to the kids, he just wanted to learn the songs and participate in worship, he actually kind of became a member of that children's choir and would practice songs with them. He didn't ever go up front and sing with them on the steps as they performed for the congregation, but he felt like he belonged in that community, not in a demeaning way, but in a way that he could sing whatever thing came to his heart and then kind of fumble through the worship later, knowing that there were other people kind of on his same singing level. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. That's the music we have most often, isn't it? But the other thing that, as a Lutheran growing up, one of the most profound things that Martin Luther did is he understood that most of the people in his congregations couldn't read. They couldn't learn hymns that typical way. So he took the songs that they knew, pub songs, and he rewrote the words to use the theology that he was trying to get them to learn, right? Because he couldn't use the Catholic songs because he didn't want people to be Catholic anymore. So he rewrote pub tunes, and they were really hip, and everyone already knew the songs. You didn't have to sing the notes right because there were songs written for when you're drunk. You could kind of slur through them. And there was a great joy in singing them, and I imagine people kind of doing this, even though they didn't have beers in their hand, but singing together in church and knowing that they could have that much fun in their singing. And in the Lutheran Church, I don't know if you all are similar, but we've loved those songs so much because we started singing them when we were little. They're still printed the exact same way as when Luther worked with them in most of our hymnals. But they don't seem like pub tunes anymore. It's like the tediousness of being the visitor at a church and having to sight read Baroque music for the first time you're ever there and trying to figure out how these strange cadences work. And they're certainly very different than the radio songs you would hear that are just one sentence over and over with computer sounds in the background. And they don't feel very fun to sing anymore. I think it's the difference between, it's kind of like This Little Light of Mine. Have you ever sung This Little Light of Mine when it just was horrible? People who didn't clap on the right beat. And they just sang it like if they sang it, it would be over. You have, haven't you? It's not fun. And you're just like, where has the life of this song gone? And then there are other times when you sing it and you're like, this round could go on for a really long time and you want to dance and sway and you are clapping on the right beat. And it just works. You know, those songs, like Jesus Loves Me, there's a time that it works and a time when you're just like, ugh, again, that's horrible. So I don't know how to make it feel like joy every time. I think maybe life is just sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's horrible. And if I am crabby that day, then it's horrible. And if I won the lottery that day, I'm really excited to sing anything. You know, part of it's probably us and where we're coming into the space too. But I think there is something in our singing that brings us together. Luther said that singing was the only time in the worship service he believed we actually experienced God. Because the Spirit flows through the world in breath. And we experience it in our life, but as people, we don't often experience it at the same time. But if we are people who learn to breathe together, as so many religions help us try to learn to do, in that learning to breathe together, we can experience God together by regulating and syncing up our breath. So the obvious encouragement is, you know, when you're not singing the right notes, even if you aren't feeling it that day, even if, you know, the person next to you sounds like a screeching owl, you know, there's no way with those words you're ever possibly going to find joy. The simple moment of breathing together can be what we're gaining from that activity in that moment. But what I truly wish is that we had new hymns that filled the complexity of our life situations. Because for me, I know that there are moments in my solitude when songs have been really meaningful. Like the time when you're holding a baby, you know, and you're singing, Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. As long as there's a baby in your arms, you don't care what words you're singing or what notes you're singing. It just feels like a magical moment. And two, as much as in worship services we want the happy, clappy songs that are going to move our hearts, the times that I've visited people in the Alzheimer and dementia wards, the times when people have come alive is when they're singing those songs that are deeply rooted and maybe don't feel peppy or happy anymore. It's the Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And it doesn't matter who's singing it or if it stinks, it can still take you to that place of remembering that loved one you knew, or that funeral that meant so much, or that time in your own life that you needed that grace. And I never noticed it before this Sunday, but the words of that song tell us that grace is a sound. It's not a thing. It's not an idea. It's not paper. It's not a promise. It's a sound that saves us. So I don't know that words can explain it properly or reach that deep place, but I'm glad that it's there. I'm glad that it cycles, and I'm glad that we attempt over and over and over to sing it and to breathe it and to share it with each other. The other thing that has moved me is because I get to travel to a lot of different congregations, I've got to go to a lot of African American congregations, and their singing kind of came from that same rooted place of being unable to read and write as a denial of their freedom. And being able to sing both the things they're really pissed off about and the things they're really joyful for in the same heart-piercing song. And I remember the day that I was at a congregation and they sang, "In heaven there's gonna be shoes." You know, the song about slavery and how people had their shoes taken away, and their deep wish was in heaven they would get that thing they had long been denied. Not shoes, but dignity, right? So I wish we had songs that were about our claiming our dignity in whatever it is that's our new way that we're losing it. You know, a song about cancer. Because we don't have words to talk about that. And it's everywhere, and it's unthinkable and devastating. And it needs a song. And it feels really too big to write, but it needs a song. And those songs of letting go, and songs of hospice. For me, the song that comes out of that is that old kind of blues 50s and 60s song. It's like, "In my time of dying, don't want no one to moan. All I want my friends to do is to come and fold my dying arms well, well, well. I can die easy, well, well, well. I can die easy, well, well, well. I can die easy, and Jesus gonna make up my dying bed." So from the start of our life to the ends of our life, to those joy moments, to the alone moments, to the moments of just aloneness and washing and utter, you know, the sense that no one can hear us and we can do whatever we want, that full freedom. My wish for all of you is that whether you're singers or not, whether you're the type who's prone to doing more thinking than to paying attention to breathing, just be aware of the songs that are a part of your life this week. Because you may not be a singer, but the world is singing at you. You can't get coffee without hearing a song. You know, you can't barely go outside. I bet if you sat outside for a half hour, you'd hear at least 7 songs from people's cars driving by. But just pay attention, if only for this week, to the joy that others are sharing with you, even when it doesn't feel like it. To the joy that you want to share to the world in song, and to the joy that God is sharing with us in the words of the birds. And for underneath it all, in that wind, in that breath, in that sound of grace. Amen.